Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, 3-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Right now, straight out of Hoboken, no joking. But me too. My guy Pat Ragazzo covering the Mets and Yankees on Sports Illustrated. We're going to talk mostly Mets right now. What up, Pat?
What's up, Keith? How you doing? Thanks so much for having me back on.
Good, man. Didn't mean to interrupt your Friday night. I know we were texting back and forth, kind of waiting on the Pete Alonso news to drop, and it didn't drop, so I'll start there. I don't know how valid this is. I don't know how much I believe this is a real thing. I think this might have been a Friday night news dump, maybe a Scott Boras engineered thing. I think this might be one of those things that gets floated out there to try and maybe force the Mets' hand, it's not even Friday, it's Thursday, going into the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, my eyes hurt from following all the rumors today. As of early afternoon, I would say this morning, I received a text that the Blue Jays are not close currently with any moves, any players of significance. And shortly thereafter, we had heard that talks were advancing, but nothing's done and no guarantee between Alonso and the Jays. Then we heard again that the Mets and Alonso are in serious talks. And then we heard from some Blue Jays reporters shortly after that, that nothing is close on Alonso or Max Scherzer, which was also part of the rumor floating around today. So a lot of rumors and a lot of struggles for everybody trying to keep up with it to find out what's real and what's not. But based off everything I've heard and everyone I've spoken to, nothing's close and nothing's happened. So even though maybe talks, it's definitely possible that talks have advanced to a more serious stage, but nothing seems imminent at the moment. There's no guarantee that he goes to the Jays, even though it kind of seems very, very, very likely that he's not going to return to the Mets. I would be very surprised if he does come back to the Mets after all this, but then again, you never know.
Yeah, that's the next thing too. I was pretty sure that the Mets pivoted because they obviously, you know, there was rumors last week that they needed an answer soon, and then they obviously go get Minter, they get Jesse Winker, and it's like, okay, they're moving on. But I just think as this goes on, and there's literally no market, no offer out there reported for Pete Alonso, it leaves the door slightly open for a return, slightly open for whether it's Pete to come crawling back and take less, or whether it's Steve Cohen to come in and say, yeah, okay, enough. You know, we want him to be in Florida with us. Let's give a little bit more. Do you think that the relationship is fractured? Do you think that a bridge has been burned here? Do you think that, you know, Scott Boras and Pete are just moving on to any other takers? Because I think it would be really unfortunate to see Pete Alonso leave New York, leave what he did with the Mets, leave this Mets team that needs him to just say, my pride is in the way. I've got a chip on my shoulder. I'll take less money to go anywhere else.
That's really the million-dollar question right now. Is there bad feelings? I don't believe there's bad feelings on the Mets side at all. They told Alonso to go test the market, and Alonso's camp made an offer to the Mets, and they countered. And Alonso, it really depends. Like, is he going to swallow his pride and come back to the Mets and try and work something out? Because very clearly at this point, if he doesn't go to the Blue Jays, we don't know where else he's going to go. Like you said, the market's really not there, and he hasn't gotten that long-term deal and probably won't get that long-term deal that he's been seeking. And he turned down a 7-year, $158 million extension in 2023. And right now, that's just offers of that magnitude just aren't out there. So if they were to come back together, let's say a couple weeks from now, it's spring training or spring training is about to start. We are getting close to the date already. We're about 3 weeks, or just about 3 weeks away, maybe a little less. And Alonso's still out there, then maybe they can meet in the middle. Like, maybe it's going to involve probably both sides giving a little more and giving in a little bit to each other and coming up with that compromise. But at the same time, yeah, it could very well be a situation where Alonso, maybe he does feel disrespected based off everything he's done for the franchise. But at the same time, the Mets have made it clear how much he means to them as an organization, and he's made it pretty clear in his closing statements before the season ended and they got eliminated from the postseason that the Mets are very important to him. And he loves New York and he wants to be back. So maybe that does leave the door open a little bit, a crack, and maybe that crack becomes a little bigger as we progress here in the next couple weeks or so.
Yeah, when I look at the National League, and I keep talking about last weekend, the Dodgers signing Roky Suzuki, Tanner Scott, and Kirby Yates, I'm like, okay, that's another layer of this. The Mets need him in the lineup. He needs to be with a contender in the Mets instead of just leaving to go somewhere else. Do you think that has anything to sway their opinion? Do you think that has anything to, like, make them kind of reconsider? Because everybody's talking about these internal options, and we'll get there next. But, like, do you think that the Mets feel like they got to up the ante? They got to reconsider just because the Dodgers eliminated them last year, and the Dodgers have had the best offseason after winning the World Series.
I believe that's why front offices are opportunistic, and the opportunity comes up, and I don't think that Alonso will be signing with the Mets for the deal that he was rumored to have turned down, which was 3 years and probably a little over $70 million. But if the opportunity arises and the Mets know they need to ante up and get a little more firepower just to have a chance against the Dodgers this year. They won two games in the NLCS. It was one more game than the Yankees were able to win the World Series than the Dodgers, but still, I mean, the Dodgers only have gotten stronger after winning the World Series. They've committed to getting better, and they've spent a lot more, and they spent a lot last offseason, too, and it resulted in that title. But, yeah, I think that could also, it could lead the Mets to wind up bringing Alonso back. But based off conversations I've had and people I've spoken to, the most realistic plan B as of last week when we first heard that the Mets were pivoting and saw that through their plan of action to bring in Minter and Winker, that the Mets believe and at least are comfortable and open to the idea of moving Mark Vientos to first base. And he has been training at first base this offseason. And then Brett Beatty and Ronnie Mauricio and Luis Angel Acuna, even though his size, it doesn't really make him that good of a fit at third base. But they will be the ones most likely competing for the third base job if Vientos moves to the primary first base position. The Mets seem to be prepared to do that as a pivot plan. But at the same time, it is creating more question marks, and bringing in Alonso and keeping Vientos at third makes the Mets stronger on paper and does give them that better chance to hang with the Dodgers next year.
We're on the phone right now with Pat Ragazzo, who covers the Mets and Yankees on SI. I'm talking about these internal options like you just mentioned. All the excitement from getting the generational Juan Soto and dreaming about a dynasty, World Series, and the bar being set as getting back to the NLCS at minimum, right, to hopefully, like, face off against the Dodgers. I think that excitement has evaporated. I think that excitement has worn off. It'll come back, obviously, when you get to see Juan Soto. But, like, not getting Pete and not getting top-of-the-market guys either in the rotation or in the lineup, you know, I think there are fans that are kind of saying now, hey, in our own division, it's going to be tough. Jerks and Profar signs with the Braves. The Phillies are the Phillies. They're going to be there. The Dodgers get even stronger. What do you think the Mets fans are feeling going into the Amazing Day, and we'll talk about that, with, like, all right, we're going to really move forward with Brett Beatty at third, moving Vientos, which I've said, we don't know if Vientos is going to be able to repeat what he did last year, especially going through a position change. How do you think Mets fans are feeling right now, losing Pete, the polar bear, who's been a face of the franchise, and, you know, all of the hype from Juan Soto early in the winter meetings, and fast forward now, you know, weeks later, to being like, all right, this is the lineup. This is where we're going to be at. This is the rotation. This is where we're going to be at. It's going to be tough to even get back to the postseason, let alone the NLCS.
Well, I can confirm with you, Keith, that my replies and my mentions on Twitter, anytime I've reported about the possibility of an internal going internally at first base and third base, has created hysterics amongst the fans. A lot of them are going to be sick if Alonso leaves. Some of them I've seen have accepted the fate that he's not coming back, which it seems like through all the reporting that's out there right now, the Mets have kind of are at least assuming that he's not coming back, that he's going to wind up with another team, even though that team might not be necessarily out there with the offers that he wants. But yeah, I think that there's three different moods that could come about in Amazing Day. It's going to be Pete Alonso themed, whether it's a good way, a moderate way, or in the low category of if he signs with another team and he's not coming back, the fans are going to be upset, especially at Amazing Day on Saturday. The moderate of if he's still out there, it's going to be a million questions about Alonso, or if they surprise us and he comes back before Amazing Day. I mean, that would be theatrical, I would say. I don't think that you could write a better script if you're a Mets fan, but I just don't think that's probably going to be the case, that Pete Alonso is going to be back with the Mets by Saturday, less than 2 days from now, for Amazing Day. But yeah, I mean, the fans, the majority of them are upset, by the possibility that he's not coming back, that he could wind up with another team, and that they could wind up not adding another bat to replace him. And there's really not anyone else out there that comes to mind. I mean, Alex Bregman really is a name they've been loosely linked to all offseason, but there's really been nothing there. And maybe that changes. And now we've heard of the Astros, re-engaging with Bregman. And I believe per The Athletic, there's a six-year, $156 million deal on the table for Bregman from the Astros. And I just don't really see the Mets dishing out that money, especially to Alex Bregman, after they wouldn't give it to Pete Alonso, their franchise cornerstone and homegrown star. So, things could change. I mean, we saw J.D. Martinez sign at the 11th hour of spring training last year with the Mets, and no one really expected that one. But it was an opportunity that came kind of out of thin air, that the market just wasn't there for him. But that's more so the reason for the Mets to continue to kind of wait it out and see how this thing plays out.
Well, I mean, if it doesn't happen tonight and it doesn't happen tomorrow as far as Pete going elsewhere, it would be theatric for the Mets to break the news Saturday morning that, you know, they gave a little bit and Pete re-signed with the Mets for 3 years, $100 million or whatever it might be. Either way, WFAN will be there to save the day. We've got a live Rico Bronya with our very own Evan Roberts and Pete Hoffman. Maybe Evan will have a couple copies of My Mets Bible. And then Sal Licata and Joe Beningo will be broadcasting live on WFAN from Amazing Day as well. So what else do you know about Amazing Day, like what they have planned, who's going to be there? Fill in the audience on what they can expect going to Citi Field on Saturday for the Fan Fest.
Yeah, so the Mets actually have a star-studded lineup that's going to be in attendance, and we received that, I believe, just a day or two ago. And I was even surprised. I mean, because in the offseason, you never know. Like, guys are out of state training in warmer areas, whether it be Florida or whether they go home to other parts of the country. Maybe some of the Latin players are in their own home countries. You just never know. But the Mets are pretty much going to have every name there, and or at least for the media schedule, they are all pretty much slated to talk. That includes Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Lindor, Mark Vientos, Brett Beatty, Jesse Winker, Edwin Diaz, Alvarez, Mike Piazza speaking, Terry Collins. Juan Soto is going to be one of the last ones to speak in the later portion of the afternoon. Carlos Mendoza will be there, but pretty much every big name on the Mets right now is going to be there, and the faces of the team will be in attendance. So fans aren't going to be disappointed going out to Citi on Saturday. It seems like it's going to be probably a madhouse from what I heard. A lot of people were talking about how they weren't able to get tickets, that it sounds like a sold-out event. And I think that it's going to be it's going to depend on the mood if whatever happens with Alonso from now until then. But I think that it's going to be a pretty hectic event with everybody who's going out there.
You know how we really get crazy? They make the trade for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. right before it starts on Saturday. What do you think about that, man? I've been telling people there's no way. Like, I'm going from the Blue Jays' vantage point. They signed Santander. There's rumblings about Pete. There's also rumblings that they could offer him $400 million. And when you're Vladdy and you know that they offered Soto $700 million, they offered Ohtani a big deal, then he's going to try and get his money out of, you know, the Rodgers folks as well. I've said two things, Pat. There's no way that the Blue Jays trade Vladimir Guerrero before opening day. And then if they get in the season and they're competing in a weak American League, why would they trade their best player at the deadline? And also, if you're a Mets fan, why would you want to give away Ronnie Mauricio or, I don't know, Brandon Sproat when you can just pay for the guy in free agency? What do you think about, you know, the Mets fans kind of dreaming of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. being their future first baseman?
At this point in time, I'd say don't count on it. I mean, the Blue Jays are focused on retaining Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and extending him. Now, there's a rumor out there that there's Vladdy has a self-imposed deadline of February 17th, the first official day of spring training workouts. And if they don't get it done by then he's done with negotiating, and he's not going to negotiate during spring training or in season, which is common. But the Blue Jays leadership group, from a baseball standpoint, they're all on the hot seat, and they know it. Ross Atkins, their GM, Mark Shapiro is going into last year of his deal. Like you mentioned, the AL is weak. Like, a lot of people are counting out the Blue Jays maybe, but I don't know. They got Santander now. You know, count on a bounce back year from Bo Bichette. They have Vladdy, whether they extend him or not, and as long as they don't trade him, which seems very unlikely at this point, they're going to have a chance to compete. And if they, especially if they sign Alonso, like, there's no reason why the Blue Jays can't win a wild card this year if they hold up, at least from a starting pitching standpoint and health-wise. I mean, they improved their bullpen. They brought back Yimi Garcia coming off a good year. They signed Jeff Hoffman. I think that the Blue Jays should have a shot to compete for an AL playoff spot, and that's most likely what it's going to take for everybody saving their jobs in the front office for the Blue Jays this year, and that's how they're operating. And again, if they can't get an extension done before that February 17th date with Vladdy, then yeah, they're not inclined to make a trade, and yeah, they would get a haul of prospects, and they would get back a bigger package than the Padres got for Juan Soto from the Yankees, and that's crazy to think about. But it doesn't benefit the people in making the decisions now, because if they do that and they make, yes, it's selfless to make a move for the better future of the organization, but if they're not going to be around and they're operating to save their jobs, like, that just doesn't make sense. Even if they do bring in Alonso, especially if they bring in Alonso, then they have a legitimate shot to do something this year. But if they don't bring in Alonso, even, like, it's a pipe dream right now. And that's all we've heard up until this point, that Vladdy, the trade for Vladdy before the season starts, just is probably not on the cards for the Blue Jays.
Well, I think the future is now. Excuse me, I had to sneeze. I think Mets fans are just coming to terms with, like, this is Francisco Lindor's team. This is Juan Soto's team, and Pete and DeGrom are things of the past. Hey, Pat, you're the man. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Likewise, Keith. Thanks a lot for having me.
888-808-1019. As I go online to get my Amazing Day tickets, they're all sold out. But for a nice $960, you can get one Amazing Day VIP pass to go to Citi Field in January. No game, no Pete, no DeGrom, but maybe you can get a selfie with Juan Soto for $960. Why not? Why not? These Mets fans are rich. I don't know, man. I don't know. $960. You better get a swag pack. You better get a life-size Grimace to leave with, a playoff pumpkin, a rally pimp suit. There better be Mr. and Mrs. Met action figures in a shopping bag, one of those, you know how you can't have the plastic bags in Jersey anymore when you shop. I don't know if that's a New York thing, too. I think it is. Yeah, I need one of those Mets bags like that. They better throw in a Clay Holmes hockey jersey, all that for $960.